My beloved people, I think everything in the bulletin this week is certainly clear enough, and there's no point in me pointing to any particular item this morning. Therefore, I will turn to the readings that we've just read. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. On earlier occasions, we took occasion to speak on the point of the gospel this morning, which is so important, and we need not go into that again. And that we should know and should already be aware that if we do have anything against anyone, that it ill behooves us to make any offering whatsoever to Almighty God until that breach has been healed. It doesn't matter how much we give, how much we do. The thing that is important is, first of all, that we prepare ourselves for prayer. There can be no doubt in anybody's mind that we are walking through very troubled times. Troubled beyond description. You have heard me say it on more than one occasion that we are probably walking over the hottest sands that the feet of man have ever touched. And that which makes these sands all the hotter is the fact, I believe it can be said as a fact, that man's evaluation of God today, generally speaking, has never ever been at this low ebb. People of earlier days hated. They hated this on this side, because they were believers of this on this other side. They believed in something. I think it is safe to say, generally speaking, that man today believes in nothing. He doesn't know how to place his belief in anything except himself. We often hear tell that those of us, for example, those of us who are devoted to traditional Catholicism are committed to restore that which has been broken asunder. That we are committed, that we should be committed, to the restoration of all things, the quotation goes, to restore all things in Christ. It is my opinion that regardless of how important this one statement is, that we have reached that point in the history of man where this saying must be put aside. Some of you frown, and I don't blame you. To restore all things in Christ today is almost at the point of looking at the example of us pouring a teacup of water in the ocean and causing a huge commotion in the water. Our business is not so much to restore anything. If any restoration is ever to take place, it can only be done by Him and Him alone, who has the power, who has the ability, who has the wisdom and the knowledge and all the other things necessary to restore things to their proper place. Our business, and we do have a business, is not to restore, but with the help of God, to the best of our ability, I repeat that, to the best of our sincere, committed ability, genuine ability, and sincerity, I should say, genuine sincerity. Our business is to do whatever we can to preserve the little that we have left. That's where it is, to preserve, to hold on to as best we can. Today, in any direction that you look, it makes no difference what direction, up, down, right, left, front, back, whatever, it makes no difference. In any direction that you look, you see enemy. The enemy is every place. And the fire, figuratively and literally, and the fire is raging all around us. And this fire is hotter because it is a spiritual fire. It is hotter than any flame that we could ever ignite. And we have to walk through that fire in our attempt, in our desire, in our prayer to preserve as best we can that which belongs to God. Does that make us better than anybody? Of course not. Does that make us holier than anybody? Of course not. Does that make us anything over anybody? Of course not. We just struggle. Struggle to preserve that which belongs to God. And we go home at night and our hands are bleeding, our minds are bleeding, our hearts are bleeding, our souls are bleeding. That's just too bad. We have to continue and continue to preserve that which Almighty God, which belongs to Almighty God. My beloved people, of course God is all-powerful. We know that. And that this creation is his creation, we know that. But in this preservation that we speak of, in this necessity to preserve that we speak of, has it ever occurred to you that we have reached such a stage that Almighty God, now understand clearly, that Almighty God, that we have come to that point in the history of things that Almighty God actually needs our help? And how can this help be given? To go out and fight? No. There are those amongst us, wherever they're located, who think that we're going to conquer by fighting, by going out and punching, by writing all kinds of belligerent articles, condemnatory articles, condemning this one and that one and the other one, the living and the dead, and everybody we condemn. Condemnation seems to be the lifeline of too many of us. We're not going to conquer anybody by fighting. We'll antagonize, and we'll make others angrier, and we will cause others to look upon our pride, because very often such an attitude degenerates to pride, because it seems to say rather loudly, I have the muscle power to go out and fight my way through this battle. I said God Almighty needs us a minute ago. But you must take that in its context. Otherwise, you will be mistaken. We will be mistaken. My beloved people, the only weapon, and we do, regardless, need a weapon. The only weapon that we have got is prayer. We must learn how to pray. It has to be an incessant prayer. It has to be a committed prayer. Look at our enemies, wherever they are. Look at the power of their commitment. Look at the power of their commitment. It is so powerful. Their commitment is. It is so powerful that they are willing to walk straight into death in order to accomplish their assignment. Now look at us, everyone. Monks back here, nuns, you, anybody. Myself included. Have I got the courage to ask myself that question? am I myself willing to walk into my own death freely? For that in which I believe. And yet, our commitment, or I'll rephrase that, is that in which I believe of lesser importance than that which those who walk into their death believe in. And I think we know the answer to that. There is no other that is equal to that which we believe in. Because what we believe in is God Himself, not an imitation, not a substitute, not a myth, not just a cloud floating in the sky. But the creator of all things, the creator of the universe that is beyond human comprehension, the creator of the human soul that is likewise beyond human comprehension, that is whom we believe in. And no other can substitute for it. But we first of all have to be convinced of this. And it comes to us primarily by way of our prayer. What is our prayer life like? I know sometimes you think that I condemn externalisms. I don't condemn them, I criticize them. The way some of us use externalisms. That's not where the prayer exists. You've heard me speak against a multitude of prayers that we say. We know to what extent this multitude of prayers that we say, we know to what extent these prayers dominate, these prayers affect or influence our way of life. We know how mechanical these prayers can become, and oftentimes are, that we rattle them off as a parrot would rattle them off, yet how attached, how inordinately attached we can be to these prayers. That's not where prayer is. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying stop prayers. I didn't say that. I don't mean that. I don't think that. But these prayers, unless and until they are shored up underneath by an interior life of prayer, they are worthless. I will repeat that. These prayers, in the plural, unless they are shored up, unless they are placed upon the foundation, the solid stone, granite foundation of a strong interior prayer, they are worthless. They are just so much air going out to meet air. It is all in the interior life, my blessed people. This is where we must look to. If we want peace, we ask for peace. The first word that our blessed Lord gave to his, uttered to his apostles when he made his first appearance to them after his resurrection, peace. Peace is God's greatest gift because it is a gift of the holy. It is a gift of sanctity. It is a gift of beauty, peace. I'm not speaking of peace that is determined by arbitration, that is determined by meetings and discussions and debates and all that kind of thing. Those things, those incidents bring no peace. I'm speaking of the peace that exists in the heart of Jesus Christ himself. That was his first gift to his apostles. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. And this, my beloved people, is what we must learn how to do. We must put the things of a child aside now, because we are in a state of siege, serious siege. And only God. So many things that happen today, so many judgments that we find ourselves making about this one or that one or the other. Let us put that aside, and let us for once and for all tell ourselves that only God can sift those grains of wheat. If we can just learn to do that much, we will have done the work of the just. Let us not be discouraged, but let us look to internal prayer. And as we leave to put our gift on that altar, or rather as we enter, I should say, as we enter to put our gift on the altar, let us walk to the altar in the footsteps of the just, my beloved people.